The first question comes from the line of Alberto Gandolfi from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. I'll stick to two. First of all, congratulations on this move. My two questions are the following. The first one is, am I right in thinking that this was not in your plan in the last CMD? And what role the US IRA played in maybe changing your mind and accelerating your strategy? It seems to me you are accelerating your strategy here. And is this part of a wider plan to reduce the exposure to emerging markets and redeploy capital towards the US IRA and Europe IRA or Repower EU? Pepe, you hinted to it, but is this it, or can we even expect more if there is more clarity, more tangible proof that Europe is actually replicating the US IRA? And the second question is much shorter. Can you help us grasp and quantify the US IRA opportunity for Iberdrola? And thank you so much.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Alberto. Well, basically, obviously, this deal gives us opportunities to accelerate growth in the U.S., given the IRA. Probably, at some point we will review our renewable plans in the U.S., so let me, give the Avangrid the opportunity at some point to explain their probably new targets in the U.S. Obviously, in Europe, I mean, this deal improves our financial strategy, our financial strength, so we will be able probably to look to more opportunities, basically in Europe and in the U.S., but also let me stress our commitment to Mexico. New opportunities could open, and obviously we continue very happy in Brazil. I think that this deal obviously gives us in the short term opportunities in Europe and in the U.S. that could be very interesting, but still we are committed to Mexico and to Brazil. And we think, that this also gives us opportunities for renewable developments in Mexico in a much better relationship with the Mexican government.
Thank you so much.
Please.
The next question comes from the line of Javier Garrido from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one would be on the $400 million EBITDA that you are retaining in Mexico. Can you give us an indication of how much is coming from renewables and if you are expecting in that $400 million to continue to have any meaningful contribution from the commercial agreements that you are retaining with your private clients, which I understand you will sign deals with the new owner of the assets to continue to supply to your private clients, if there is any meaningful contribution from that, or is simply the asset-based profits what makes the $400 million EBITDA that you expect to retain. And then the second question is more strategic. I mean, this looks like a great deal, really, but as you mentioned, you have already raised 90% of the expected proceeds for disposals, and you're looking at more deals, while the acceleration of growth in renewables, as we have seen in the last couple of years, is taking time, with permitting, with all sorts of bottlenecks in the value chain. So are you happy to exceed your disposal targets, even if these takes some time to be redeployed into capital, or will you accommodate your disposals to the pace of acceleration that you can actually deliver on renewables development? My question is simply, is there a risk or that we see some time gap in both processes? Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Javier. Well, first of all, I have to say that we retain all our commercial agreements with our private clients. This is important. We do it through our combined cycle. You know that we maintain, and we have some PPAs also that guarantees for all our clients in Mexico that we will maintain the agreements. Most of the EBITDA is coming, you know, now from our supply business and our commercial activity. I don't have an exact disclosure, but I think that was very, very important for us, okay? So in that sense, we are maintaining absolutely our supply business in Mexico through renewables and combined cycles. Obviously, our combined cycles are working more times than our renewables because more or less we have the same amount. So a larger part of this EBITDA is coming from our combined cycles plus our supply business. In terms of the second question, I mean, we want to be very pragmatic. I think we've been mentioning that we see that there is good opportunities. Obviously, this allows us to look for opportunities for growing. And obviously, we could look to some more opportunities of inorganic growth, basically in A-rated countries where we are present and we want to grow. Well, we'll see about the time gap, but in any case, as we are saying, this operation is very dilutive in a very small scale, only about $90 million. I don't expect any gap in the short term, but further possibilities of growth in further opportunities of growth for the medium long term. Okay, so as I was mentioning, Javier, we are not changing our net profit target for our 2025 year, and this will probably give us opportunities for growth for the 2025-30 period.
That's very clear. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Fernando García from RBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. I will stick to the two as well. First, I have to say that I was surprised watching the video of the agreement this morning in which López Obrador looked very friendly with Iberdrola, no? So my question here is, there are several regulatory problems open between Iberdrola and Mexican regulators. So what can we expect now given this agreement? And then the second question is if you can tell us what is the CapEx invested in the assets sold and if you can provide some color about the returns Iberdrola got in these assets. Thank you.
Okay, well, I think that as David has very well explained, you know, in terms of these regulatory problems that we had with the Mexican government, as most of them were in the assets that we have been transferred or sold to the Mexican government, all the regulatory problems, you know, go with the assets. So in this sense, we can say that we are almost free of any problem with the Mexican government. And I think this is a very important element in this deal. Second, I have to say also that You know, I think that we think that we enter into a new phase of relationships with the Mexican government. The Mexican government was interested in buying, especially these, I would call them concessions, and that was important for them. I think that from now on, obviously, that changes the relationship that we have had with the Mexican government for good, and that gives us opportunities in this country. No, in terms of other things, I think that we are right now in a very early moment. As you know, we have signed a memorandum of understanding, and so probably we will be able to give you more color on this in the future, no, regarding the CAPEX, etc. Okay.
Before going to the next question, we have some details that are going to be provided by David. David, your time.
Yes, regarding the previous question about the EBITDA, the $400 million, more or less $150 million of the EBITDA are coming from CCGTs. Two-thirds are from the normal operation of the CCGTs and €50 million from the commercial side. As Pepe was saying, we maintain intact our commercial business there in Mexico. Then we have another $50 million approximately that come from the cogeneration, and the rest, up to 400, come from the renewables. So more or less, again, 150 from the CCGT that will remain with the commercial activity, €50 million from the cogeneration, and €200 million from renewables.
Okay, now, next question, please.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mark Fresney from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my questions. Firstly, on the remaining wind pipeline in Mexico, how much emphasis should we place on this? What is the likelihood that you would be able to convert any of those into spinning assets before the end of the decade? My second question is for both of you, Pepe and David. On the basis that you have a marginal euro to invest globally, where do you see the best IRRs in your sector currently?
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for your question. I think that now we have to wait after this deal. We have to wait to see what are the new policies of the Mexican government regarding renewables. The Mexican government, has said that they want to invest in renewables. I think that there is a very important opportunity right now, in Mexico, as there is this nearshoring in the U.S. as they are trying to change China for Mexico. We know there are important plans for develop industries in Mexico, and obviously that needs energy, and obviously we are willing to start investing there. No, so we have to wait a little bit to see what is the new policy after this deal of the Mexican government, and thereon we will start to see what are the investment opportunities, to be more specific. No, so we will see how this situation evolves in Mexico in the next months. No, and we have said regarding the marginal euro that the U.S. is a country where we think that it's the country where most of our investments are being directed. Obviously, there are new opportunities in other parts of the world, but as of to now, we have said, or we think that the euro, that the U.S. probably is the country that brings that brings more opportunities for the medium and long term. No?
Much. Thank you.
Next, please.
The next question comes from the line of Fernando Lafuente from Alantra Equities. Please go ahead. The next question comes from the line of Javier Suarez from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning all. Two questions remaining. And the first one is on your calculation for the 11 times enterprise value to EBITDA. You can help us to reconcile that number. I guess that the question here is in the numerator, the debt that you are deconsolidating as a consequence of the disposal of this asset, and on the transaction and on the EBITDA that you are retaining. If I'm adding up the EBITDA of the asset that has been sold, $550 million plus the EBITDA that you are retaining, 400 million euros, totally adding up to 950 million euros, which is ahead the numbers that we have seen in the last couple of years. Can you help us to reconcile these two numbers? That would be the question number one. And the second question is on the capital gain that has been mentioned during the call to be a significant one in 2023. You can help us to understand if this capital gain is eligible for the dividend payment of 2023. Thank you.
Well, Javier, this we will give you more detail on the numbers, but also take into account that some of the assets were not working. Over 1,000 megawatts were not working last year. You know, that should be included in part of the calculation. No? And second, obviously, you know, we don't have yet a number for capital gains, so it is difficult to give you. I think that our dividend policy shouldn't change very much, you know, even if there is a significant capital gain, but I am the chief financial officer, and this is a decision that has to be taken by the shareholder, by the general shareholders meeting and the board, etc. My opinion is that it will not change very much from what we have been saying in our strategic plan.
Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of James Brand from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Congratulations on the deal from me as well. I had one question remaining on the transaction, and then one I was hoping I could ask just on other aspects. So on the transaction, I very much get the feeling from how you answered some of the earlier questions that you'd be looking to reinvest the proceeds from this deal in other areas. But maybe you could just confirm, you gave a leverage target for 2025 of 3.4 times at the Capital Markets Day. Is that still roughly the right kind of leverage that we should be thinking about in 2025? This first question, and then secondly, on kind of other things, we obviously had the power market reform proposals from the European Commission, and in there were no proposals about extending price caps. And I saw the Spanish government got approval to for the gas kind of mechanism for power gen through to the end of this year. But I was wondering whether you thought that the European Commission proposals made it likely that after this year that these emergency measures didn't get extended, or whether you thought Spain may try and extend them after the end of this year in spite of that not being a feature of the Commission proposals. Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah, I think that our leverage target shouldn't change. As we are saying, this deal gives us the capacity to invest also, to do more deals, so hopefully we will do them. And, you know, let me not comment on the market reform proposals of the European Union and Spain. I mean, we are more focused on the Mexican deal, you know, I think that probably this is not the moment, sorry, not to answer that question, but I think that right now, we are looking, I mean, probably this is not the most appropriate moment to discuss that, and obviously I have other people in the company that is more entitled me in talking about the proposals of Europe, no, in the market reform.
Next question.
The next question comes from Jorge Guimarães from JB Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my questions. The first one is a detail on the earnings dilution. If you can elaborate on the amount of D&A that is being considered for your earnings dilution calculation. And the second is related to your 2025 net income objective. You say you are reiterating the 5.2 to 5.4 billion objective, but you are also saying that you are losing, roughly speaking, 80 million euros. So where do you see other areas improving that compensate the dilution from the Mexican deal? Thank you very much.
Well, I think that, you know, as we were saying, the Mexican deal gives us the opportunity to reinvest or to accelerate growth in other areas. I think there was a question before, I think it was Alberto, was asking, about our U.S. strategy. Probably we are going to accelerate growth in the U.S. And obviously there we are analyzing some opportunities also of growth. Our M&A team is a very active team, and we are always looking to opportunities that could, compensate this 90 million. No? So in that sense, we are not changing that objective, and I think that we are talking about 90 million out of 5.2, 5.4 billion. So this is not, a very large number for a group like Iberdrola not to be able to compensate it, no?
Next question, please.
The next question comes from Javier Garrido from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Apologies, just a quick follow-up. Is there any understanding between Iberdrola and the Mexican government that Iberdrola will invest some of the proceeds from this deal back into Mexico? Thank you.
No, there is not any understanding. Obviously, what we have said to the Mexican authorities that we'll be very happy to start investing in Mexico after this agreement. I think that they will welcome this, but we don't have any specific agreement on this, no?
Okay, this question from Javier Garrido has been the last one already done, and is there is anyone who has not been able to ask, please contact to the Investor Relations Department, and we will be pleased to answer you. Pepe, when you can, you are able to.
Well, thank you very much to everybody. I think this is a very good deal for everybody. And I hope that you have some days of rest in this Semana Santa. Thank you.